was pouring through the gaps around the door, trickling across the uneven floor, collecting in one corner in a growing pool. Thunder pealed and crashed, lightning bright around the door's edges. The air was scented with the bitter tang of ozone from the storm, riding over the wood smoke and the lingering aroma of the dead dogs. Ryan sat close to Christy. Conversation was difficult.
Want to talk about it, lover?
I don't know. Yeah, in some ways. Of course I do. But it isn't real yet. Maybe the woman was wrong or crazy. Or the kid's already dead in some gutter, floating face down in the river. Maybe he isn't really my son. And if he is, then we have to try and find him and rescue him.
We can do that. A few scalies won't stop the old team.
Yeah, I guess so. But that's what's filling my mind. And I can't clear my head to talk about it. Not yet.
The afternoon drifted by in a timeless haze of noise and darkness. JB joined Ryan and Christy. Doc had fallen asleep, and Mildred was also dozing. Bluff had rolled over in a corner, looking like an ugly bundle of rags.
It's getting late to start trying to track the boy.
Yeah, best stay here the night, and then move first thing.
This sting hurts like a bastard. Throbs. Worse than any skeeter I ever knew.
Christy reached over and laid the palm of her hand on the armorer's forehead.
Feels hot, JB. Best take care.
Too late. Bastard's already bitten me. Be okay in the morning.
The massive storm had finally spent itself, the noise and turbulence moving off to the south.
I'll take a look outside. Scalies might be around now the hurricane's gone. Want to see if the smoke's likely to give us away.
We going to post a guard?
We might.
Ryan untied the ropes, the knots difficult and tight from their wetness. Ryan breathed in the cool, fresh air. It was full dark, with a sliver of watery moon floating uneasily among scudding walls of frayed clouds. The storm was just visible, way off beyond the southern tip of Matten, the silent lightning still ripping at the blackness. The temperature was well above freezing, and the street glistened with spilled rain, huge puddles gathering at its edges. The place where they'd thrown the canine corpses was empty, and Ryan glanced around uneasily, wondering if the giant alligators were still crawling in the shadows. But the ville was quiet, seemingly deserted.
You moving on?
No. Going for a walk. Got something I want to hunt on down. Bring it back if I find it.
Food?
Nearly, Captain. Nearly. Be a bit of time, then I'll be here again.
I'm a mite concerned about John.
3/4 of an hour had passed since Bluff had vanished, and Ryan was beginning to feel a touch of concern. The hairs at his nape were prickling. It didn't take a giant leap of the imagination to think that the old man had gone to earn himself some sort of reward for betraying them.
You said he had a touch of fever. Getting worse?
Some.
A sort of flu? It's not like JB to go and catch himself a cold.
Mildred joined them, looking out over the silent debris of the city.
God, it's desolate, isn't it? No, it's not a flu. I just wonder about that insect that stung him. The swelling's worse, and he keeps saying it feels like someone's injected him with acid.
I didn't see what did it.
Me neither. And I feel real tired myself. Need something to pick me up.
I could use something, too.
Ryan didn't even turn around.
JB, we all need something to keep going in the bad times.
JB moved into the open, the moonlight's gleam making him look as pale as death. Beads of perspiration stood out on his forehead and cheeks.
Nobody needs anything to get through the good times. I never did. Never will. At times I wonder about what keeps us going. You know, Ryan? What's the point when I'm gonna die alone?
We all will one day. Why not come and keep out of the cold, John?
John? John? Nobody calls me that, Mildred.
I do. Let's get you back inside.
I'm cold, Mildred. Body like ice.
Ryan watched as the woman took his friend by the arm and helped him down into the cellar. The idea of JB being ill was so alien that it was difficult even to consider.
Think he'll be better in the morning?
I sure hope so.
By the time Bluff eventually returned, another hour had passed. JB had slipped into a fitful sleep, watched over by Mildred. The lump on his face had grown larger, and she said the glands in his neck and armpits had also become swollen. Twice he had come to a sort of half-waking and mumbled lines from a song about being up on Cripple Creek.
That's where he was born. It's almost the only thing I know about his background.
Cripple Creek?
Yep.
Colorado?
I guess.
Well, I'll be. I took part in a big shooting competition there a couple of years before I got myself frozen. Anyway, gotta get back to my patient.
Patient, eh?
Hey, Bluff, you sound drunk.
Ahoy! I wouldn't mind a quaff of that.
Well, damn it, here you go.
Thank you, my dear fellow. Never mind.
Christy, Mildred, and Ryan all refused it. JB was sleeping more comfortably by now and wasn't to be disturbed. Ryan was sitting at the bottom of the steps, keeping a watch outside. The fire was burning well, keeping the cellar cheery and warm. He'd been outside to check on the chimney, but there was virtually no smoke showing. With the armorer ill, the risk was worth the taking.
Sure you don't want to slug on Zalski, Bob, huh?
I'm sure. A man on guard needs to be alert. Not with his headstone sideways.
Nice way with words, Audi. Talk good, all of you. All but that old prick, he speaks double stoop.
Well, Doc lives in his own world.
He's a stoop. Gotta be clever in Madden, or he don't pull by.
Bluff was already high, his tongue running away with him. Ryan kept nodding, half listening to his rambling, most of his concentration on watching the street. The old man waved his bottle of Joltski around.
Thought I couldn't remember where I put this little love.
Yeah, know the feeling.
Hit it good. Like when you're a kid and you got a reward for being good?
Sure.
This is my reward for being good.
Suddenly, Ryan focused his complete attention on the small man.
You got that Joltski as a reward, Bluff?
Yeah, fucking good. Good. Hey, I'm about to ask you if you found something here.
What?
That kid had a knife. Real pretty. Green handle. Never found it when they came. And they said I could have it. That's them special. Part of my reward.
Bluff's mouth sagged open in a soft grin at his own cleverness, his eyes rolling unfocused, blasted by the jolt.
The Scalies gave you the bottle as part of your reward for betraying the people who lived here?
I didn't say that.
You did. I bet you do real well from the Scalies here and there, don't you, Bluff? I really admire your cleverness.
In the cellar, beyond the old man, Ryan could see that both Mildred and Christy were awake and listening, open-mouthed, to the conversation.
Well, that's nice, Audi. Got my bottle. Didn't see none of them Scalies tonight.
That's really what I wanted to know. So you didn't tell them about us being here?
Course not. Said I didn't see them tonight, didn't I? Hey, man, what's your fucking problem?
The murderous rage totally possessed Ryan, blinding him to everything else. If anyone had come between him and his victim, he would have struck them down without a nanosecond's consideration. Anyone. He followed Bluff into the arched warmth and security of the basement, moving instinctively on the balls of his feet, light and ready.
Hey, listen, Captain, if you want...
Betrayer.
Wait, but I...
No more words.
One blow was all that it took. Ryan clenched his fist, leaving the first joints of the index and middle fingers protruding, giving a sharpening thrust to the attack. He drew back his arm a few inches, then jabbed out, exhaling as he did so. He didn't aim at Bluff's head, directing the punch instead at the solar plexus up under the rib cage, tearing into the soft, unprotected area of the old man's stomach. Though Bluff was frail and thin, Ryan's blow buried his fist up to the wrist. He even felt the jar of the vertebrae.
Jesus.
The nerve damage caused by the ferocious punch produced vagal inhibition, which literally stopped the old man's heart and lungs.
What the deuce? Are we under attack? I've known you long enough, my friend, to have trust in your actions. But was it necessary to butcher this poor, helpless man?
He was a traitor, Doc. Betrayed people to the Scalies. Gave them up for drink and his own miserable life. He gave them my son, Doc.
From the corner, JB spoke, surprising them all.
And the bastard had it coming, Doc. If I'd felt a little better, I'd have up and chilled him.
I see. I did mention that I thought you would have had a cogent reason. And by the three Kennedys, there can be few reasons more cogent than that.
Ryan stooped over the shrunken corpse, wrinkling his nose at the stench where Bluff had fouled himself in his passing. Ryan locked his fingers into the loose skin at the back of the old man's neck,